Here's what you missed on Kennedy Malloy. HSV didn't miss anything when they re-engineered the Chevrolet Silverado for Australian roads. Chevrolet Silverado by HSV. Live big. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Yes, hello and welcome to the big Friday edition of Kennedy Malloy. It's going to be our normal program with the odd reference to the great late Bob Hawke. What a man, what a giant. He will be missed, whatever side of politics you're on. There's no denying it was an incredible legacy that man has left. So we'll get Richo, Jane. Hello,
we
Jane.
Will.
Hello,
Mick.
Dave.
Hey, guys.
We will get Richo on the line.
You could say Hawke's timing is pretty impeccable yes. for the Labor Party. And
yes. Right to the very end. He's a staunch Labor man.
He is a staunch Labor man, and those front pages of the newspapers show us that.
So I'll hear from one of the blokes who knew him best, who was insider, was in a lot of those meetings, those Kirribilli agreements and all the rest. So we'll get the guff from a man who was there and who strangely has outlasted Hawke. If you'd have told me that 5 years ago, I would have told you you were nuts. Hey, we've got a special guest.
Yes, we've got a special guest, Jay Farrow. Is that who you're talking
Jay
about?
Jay Farrow.
Now, this guy is so talented. He's on Saturday Night Live. He's one of the youngest people we've ever got on the show. Now, Mick, I know you think you're great at impersonating people.
Good. No.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry, there's a new sheriff in town,
so to speak.
We're going to talk to him, and he's going to do some of his impressions.
If he's prepared, I'll go head-to-head.
He's a great guy.
We'll have our weekend review, as
also,
we always do.
I wanted to catch up with Joel Creasy, who's currently in Tel Aviv, because it's Eurovision this weekend, and Australia has an entrant. I know we still can't believe Australia's in it, but we are with a ripping chance this year from
Kate
Miller-Heidke.
It's all a bit mad for my liking.
Well, that's what they want. It's Eurovision.
If you take the tone out of your voice.
No, you're very judgmental and you just don't like people dressing up and having fun.
It's got to be camp and fun and all
that. It is, totally over
that's
the top.
That's what it is.
There's a Friday nights at your house,
though. How dare you.
And also, we said clown of the week. We've got
it's
so many.
Chock-o-block people.
Exactly.
We'll take your calls, we'll take your tweets, we'll get to it, but let's start at the top.
Yes.
Bob Hawke. Jeez.
Big news.
Wowie.
Well, worldwide news, really. Bill Clinton said something on Twitter.
Well, I would have thought so. He's on the Australian Mount Rushmore for me.
I think so.
I think he is a truly significant leader who presided over some of the biggest changes this country has ever seen, and from Medicare.
Well, he also, did you know he was so influential in helping Nelson Mandela get freed? Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yes, he was. He was very much involved in that.
And he did put a jacket on top of another jacket.
He did.
The morning of the America's Cup told any bossy sector worker on that particular day they were a bum. I feel the same way today.
Me too. We should be out. Yeah. Well, I think a lot of politicians are gathering in different pubs actually around Australia have a toast to Bob.
Maybe a yard glass, the quickest yard glass in the history of the world, which he had at one stage.
Well, it is as a student officiated in the World Book of Records, Guinness Book of Records.
It is good. Now, the news broke last night about, we were about to do our show.
And I thought, my God.
I think it was about half an hour beforehand.
It was,
it was. Your show, which was really fantastic last night, Mick, was so funny. I thought, I wonder how they're going to handle the Bob Hawke passing, and you did it with the utmost respect, of course. Let's have a listen.
We should
acknowledge Bob Hawke. Exactly right. He's just passed, as they say.
A former Prime Minister, Bob Hawke.
Former Prime Minister.
Away,
there you go, Hawkey. I hope he put in his postal vote. Too soon?
Just a fraction.
Too soon.
I didn't think too soon. Bob would have laughed at that.
He would have seen the funny side.
That is a ripper. We interviewed Bob in 1990 when he was Prime Minister, when I was working on a breakfast show at Triple M.
The D Generation.
And I recall at the time, I've got photos and all that. I haven't put that up on Twitter. Everyone's doing their photo with Bob. I thought I'd lay off. But we interviewed him, and I remember it was, you know, when you're on the hustings, you get all the film crews and everyone.
It's quite interesting. isn't it? They file in, there's 20 blokes.
Yes.
And wasn't there someone writing jokes for him? I think you were.
I think
Tommy
so,
Tommy,
yeah. He was very nervous.
He was very nervous.
All politicians were nervous in the day coming on our show. But he came on, and of all our networks that covered the story,
yeah.
SBS ended up doing it, if that says anything about it. But this is a little bit of what happened when we interviewed Bob Hawke.
Radio's D generation had Bob Hawke on toast during his appearance on the Triple M breakfast show, the Prime Minister being the butt of jokes and gags.
I've done a few polls amongst my neighbours, and everyone round here is intending to vote Labor.
What a great pollster.
Yeah, well, I haven't spoken to the guys in J Division yet, but
it's... he really laughed at that and was a good sport. We'll look forward to hearing
the
shows. It's
a genuinely sad day.
What happened too with Bob is that in the second half of his life, he found love again, and I know that it was upsetting for his family that he got divorced, but he truly was in deep love with Blanche DelPuget, and we send condolences to her, of course, and she's handling it with aplomb. She said she's already picked it. She knew what was going to happen.
She's a go-getter. Yeah. She'll be back on Tinder next week.
She's not going on your list.
Well, if I ever get a matching dressing gowns we'll be the
you
first
can do that. All right.
A genuinely sad day, a giant in his field and helped shape Australia and the modern era. You know, liberal or Labor, you can still, conservative, admire what he did. And I tell you what we'll do. We'll have a chat to Richo,
who knew him so well.
Front and centre after this to walk us through.
Bob Hawke. This is Kennedy Malloy, re-engineered by HSV. The Chevrolet Silverado does everything big, very big.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
The former Australian Prime Minister Bob Hawke has died, aged 89.
A bloke who loved his country and loves Australians and who was not essentially changed by high office.
Australia's 23rd Prime Minister. It's very difficult to overstate what a giant he is of the Labor Party and of the Labor movement.
His legacy will endure forever. He modernised our economy. He transformed our society.
Politicians these days are not big risk takers. He was a very big risk taker.
Bob Hawke changed Australia for the better.
I tend, I think, occasionally to take too much refuge in having a drink.
They go, skull, skull, skull. And the great man, Bobby Hawke, nailed it.
Just said to myself, if you're going to become Prime Minister of this country, you can't afford ever to be in a position where you can make a fool of yourself or of your country. And I never had a drop by the whole period I was in Parliament.
Do you feel like you're attractive to women?
I don't think about it.
Yeah. I mean, if a good-looking bird passes by, you don't pay attention, huh?
That's not a logical sequence from what I just said.
Mr. Hawke, could I ask you whether you feel a little embarrassed tonight at the blood that's on your hands?
You're not improving, are you? I thought you'd make a better start to the year than that. It's a ridiculous question. You know it's ridiculous. I have no blood on my hands.
Any boss who sacks anyone for not turning up to die is a bum.
There was a bit going on there. Let's check in with a man who knew him as well as anyone, a commentator for The Australian and Sky News and minister in the Hawke and Keating governments. Thanks for your time, Richo. How are you feeling today, mate? How did you hear the news?
Oh, I think it's a bit sad. I got a phone call from Craig Emerson, I think pretty soon after it happened. I was one of the ones that got rung reasonably quickly. And, of course, I feel the same as millions of Australians today. I'm just sad. It's an awful thing to confront. You know it's going to happen at some point.
Bob knew it was going to happen. Richo, Bob was very at peace and knew it was imminent, and he seemed to be letting everyone know it was happening soon.
Oh, yeah, I think he wanted it to happen. Life hadn't been terrific for him in recent times. He'd had a problem with his feet and he couldn't walk at all, and I think he hated being in a wheelchair. He hated being, somebody who was dependent upon others. I think he would have found this as a blessed relief.
Yeah.
So you're right. There does seem to be the national psyche is a bit dented today. It's a sad day and we all feel it. Can you, before we ask you a couple of questions, can you just talk about the man and Bob Hawke who you knew and spent all those times with? Can we give you the floor for a minute?
Yeah, well, this is the bloke who, in 1972, I met as a 22-year-old party organiser. And after a meeting of Macquarie University students. I took him for a drink and I walked him into the lounge bar of the El Rancho. And he just said, what are we doing in here? And he walked straight into the public bar. And there were the ditch diggers and the mail sorters and the rest of them. And he much preferred their company than anybody else's. And he also, of course, had the capacity to be at home in boardrooms as well. This is the man who could make sure that Australia kept working even when there were difficulties with trade unions and big problems. He was always the one to step in and sort them out. In a way that I don't think anybody else could. He had there was a bigness about him, particularly with his kindness. I think he was one of the kindest men I ever met.
Wow.
And he would stoop down to help anyone. That was the thing about Bobby. It didn't matter who you were. If he could help, he would.
There's been a huge outpouring of, and the word love is being bandied about a lot, which you don't often get for politicians, especially in this climate, but especially for Blanche DelPuget as well. And we feel great that he found such great love with her.
He did. There's no doubt about it. It's one of the great love stories. Obviously, it went on for a very long time, when some would say it wasn't supposed to go on. But that's what love does. And he was very much in love with her, really in love with her. And
and
I think it was returned. They were the original happy couple. And I think when they found each other, it was great for both of them.
When you think of the great Labor leaders of the modern era, you go to Whitlam, Hawke and Keating. We saw pictures a couple of days ago of Keating and Hawke sitting down and breaking bread together. How far through did they ever work through their relationship? Did they ever get to the point where they'd buried the hatchet, those two?
Yes, they. In very recent times, over the last 6 months or so, I know that their relationship's been pretty good. And that's excellent because it really needed to be sorted. You know, as a team, they were unparalleled. There was no one as good as them. And I think to see them together and being happy, that really makes a lot of Labor hearts lift.
Yes.
One of the things that I think perhaps there's a whole generation of people don't understand about Bob Hawke, we see that he's the larrikin, he's the beloved people's man, but he was also a Rhodes Scholar. And an interesting fact, but Malcolm Turnbull also, Tony Abbott, Kim Beazley, these are not handed out easily, are they, this Rhodes Scholarship?
Well, I wouldn't know. No one ever got them.
But he was a smart guy, but he was, still managed to relate to everybody.
That's where I think he excelled. His capacity to relate to anyone from the ditch digger to the chairman of the board was quite remarkable. I don't think we've ever seen anyone in that category. And I doubt that we ever will. He was just amazing. He was a one-off, extraordinary Australian, always destined, I think, by the time he was born to be Prime Minister. I don't think there was ever any doubt about it.
Wow.
I met him when he was at the ACTU many, many years before he became a household name. But you could tell then, you knew. This was the man who would one day run Australia. It was just obvious.
And if you're going back through all his achievements, and I remember through the Hawke and Keating governments, some of the greatest changes in the landscape in this country were made in that era. What would you say were his greatest achievements?
I think the single greatest achievement is Medicare. Because I think that's endured for 30-something years and it'll just keep going. It was just one of the great social reforms Australia has ever seen. But also on the economic front, he tore down our tariff walls and convinced Australians they could compete successfully on a world stage, which we've done ever since. And I think that was pretty courageous because at the time, not everybody thought that was a great idea. So I think, Bob could be saluted for his courage in that one.
Yep.
Bringing foreign banks in here might seem like nothing now, but it was a huge deal then.
Yes. Hey, listen, we could talk all day, but we're going to have to go. I've got him on our Mount Rushmore in anyway, Richo. And can I say this? If you had told me 10 years ago that you'd outlast Bob Hawke, I may have been a bit cynical to the idea, but you might see them all off, mate. And hearts and thoughts, prayers go out with you today too. I know you'll be
feeling a good mate.
A good friend.
Yeah, indeed. It's, as I said, a very sad day for millions of us, not just for me.
Good on you.
All right, mate.
Thank you, Richo.
Bye-bye.
A drive home that's a little unpredictable. This is Kennedy Malloy.
There are many contenders.
Hey, I'm the leader, bro.
Please explain.
I'm gonna let you finish.
Oh, good for you.
But it can't always be this guy.
You are fake news.
Who will be...
He was a famous clown.
Clown of the week.
We have to start with this guy, Mick, because I can't believe he can still be allowed to play tennis and represent Australia.
He could win Clown of the Year, this bloke.
Yes. Well, he's got it in the bag. Let's give it to him now. It's Kyrgios.
Nick Kyrgios.
Nick.
He's hard to support,
dude,
isn't he?
You are so hard to like, mate, and you're so hard to love. I don't know what is going through your head.
I think he might have speaking plainly, I think he might have been not quite right. And I don't mean that.
It's so disrespectful for what he's done. He's at the Italian Open. They're playing on, they're playing on
clay.
And he has another tantrum. He doesn't like a line call or something. He goes
so bigger. Yesterday, did you see in the round previously, in the middle of the game, he served the ball underarm.
Oh, yeah.
And turned his back and bent down as if he
turned
inviting
his ass
the,
to the other guy.
His opponent to smash it into his ass.
Yeah. I thought that was terrible.
Mm.
At what point
do you not just say, if you did that in Aussie rules football or on a cricket pitch.
Try it in golf. You're gone
for years.
All right. So we've got a bit of
you. Why don't they just go, mate, you go and have a break.
Mm.
You cannot do this anymore. We've got some audio. This was what happened
during the tournament. He's gone bananas.
He's just gone. Okay, let's have a listen to what happened.
This may be his worst on-court tantrum to date. Kyrgios threw his racket. He kicked a water bottle. He threw a chair and exploded.
Code violation of sportsmanlike conduct. Game penalty, Mr. Kyrgios.
I'm done. What a baby. He's thrown a plastic white chair across the court.
You can't be doing that.
Come on, Nick.
He's swearing. He's carrying on. Also, you know, the ramifications of that, people have paid to go and see a match. It's finished halfway.
And he stormed off.
He stormed
off. If you storm off any ground in a...
But the umpire said game,
tennis
said
is
match,
weak
you're
as
off.
Piss. The tennis, whoever the governing World Tennis Authority
Come
is,
on.
They have no control. It's lawless. They're richest
well,
kings.
You know
they're
who's
paid
supporting
to
him?
Do. Who?
Your mate, your boyfriend, Roger Federer.
Oh, is he now? Is he now?
I've always been suspicious about Roger.
Well, that's
he's
what
defending
that
him. He goes, come on, you know, we've got to look at what's going on.
Bang, life ban, you're gone, see you later.
I'm
anyone
with you.
Anyone else want to throw a chair onto the court?
Stop spoiling everyone's fun, you goose.
It's just a simpler time when Wally Masseur at Ken Rosewell.
I agree.
Roy Emerson.
Rod Laver.
Who would have happened to the old Aussie?
Yeah.
They were deep.
And where's the other one gone, by the way?
Who?
The other one.
Oh, the other Australian.
What's his name?
Oh, the one, the Gold Coast one.
Yeah.
I'm having a mental blank, too.
Bernard
Tomic. What's happened to him?
Well, he's cleverly keeping his head low, keeping a low profile.
He's still playing? Wasn't he making a comeback?
I don't know what he's doing.
He's going to work out.
Australian tennis.
Late.
Get it
all
together.
Right, there you go. That's a good way to kick us off. Can I mention Kerri-Anne Kenley?
Oh.
I'd like to put her in.
A friend of both of us.
A friend of both of ours.
She's saying what she thinks.
She's saying what she thinks.
She's got to a stage in her life where she said, I'm not holding back on anything.
Fortunately, what she thinks is just nuts.
She's in the no-filter realm now, isn't she?
She's the end of the world as we know it, wasn't it?
Don't do it on telly. Just ring up an AM radio station and have your elderly psycho rant.
That's funny.
Well, it is. She's entitled to her opinion, but she's to suggest that the world will end is the most dramatic.
Can I hear her
for
say
such
it?
A middle of the road? Do you want to hear it? Here she is on
please.
Studio 10.
If Bill Shorten gets in, it is the end of life as we know it. Labor government spend, taking money retrospectively, as they will do, that franking credits. I had to Google that. But franking credits, this is the way self-funded retirees, not to leech off the government pension, they look after themselves. They've got that plan. He's going to rip it off them. He'll put in negative gearing. No more investment into houses, so your rent will go up. Anybody who believes they're going to be better off if Shorten and the Greens get in is under some whoopee-doo cloud. It will never, ever happen. You will tank.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I honestly think Pauline Hanson is making more sense than Kerri-Anne Kenley.
Kerri-Ann won't like you saying that.
Well, it's the way it is.
Well, I'll tell you, let's speak of Pauline Hanson.
Yeah. The end of the world as we know it.
Pauline got one in.
Pauline?
She got a...
So who are you clowning?
Well, I'm clowning Deborah Knight.
Oh, friend of the show.
Yeah.
You're after her job.
I'm not.
You know
please
you want
don't
her job.
Return to this because we've established the fact I'm not after this, Georgie or Deborah's
this
job.
This is another roundabout no. white-handing oh.
How could I do that?
Undermining
no.
This is why you brought it up
Garner.
On air.
No, it's not why I brought it up.
Why do you keep playing it?
Yeah, why?
Well, I'm not keeping playing it. It only happened this week. And Pauline's had it with everyone sticking the boot in. Mm. Possibly us.
Pauline's got one off.
She's got one off. You want to have a listen to have a crack at Deborah?
The latest news poll, it shows support for One Nation collapsing to just 4%, on par now with Clive Palmer's party.
Deb, I've actually gone up since the last election. Unlike your show, Deb, since you've actually taken over, you've actually gone down in your viewership. So
ooh,
should you hand over your job or should we bring Carl back? Well, should we bring Carl back, you know? I just feel that you constantly have a go at myself and One Nation. Let the people have their say on Saturday.
Oh, Deb.
Crikey.
I hope you're having a wine and a bath. Nice bubble bath now.
All right. Hey. Hey. Give us a call, 1-3-3-5-3.
Any clowns?
Who do you want to do it with when you do the Today Show? Eventually,
I've told you.
You know you want it.
I don't have any ambitions. Shout out to Carl Stefanovic. How are you
I
going?
I wake up with Jane.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Shout out to our friends at 102.9 Triple M Newcastle. They're partying today. Big day in the ratings. Number one station in
good
Newcastle.
On you guys.
Tanya
Newcastle.
And Steve for breakfast. And what a ripping station.
Top shelf.
Love them.
We love them there at Newcastle.
I love a hit and run on Newcastle.
Hey.
Down there. Make beautiful sure. Beaches.
That's fantastic.
Noah's still there. Oh, had some good times there.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Hey, well done, everybody there. What a beautiful part of the world. We're in the middle of Clown of the Week. We're going to keep dancing. We've got some calls racked up and ready to go. 1-3-3-5-3. We just want to mention quickly. Can I just do one quickly?
Go ahead.
Ed Sheeran and Bieber.
Oh. Yeah, I'm with you.
For the new song, Dave.
Called I Don't Care.
Really? Tell me this isn't, like, going anywhere, is it?
I'm sorry, I just want to say that's piss weak.
Yeah, I'm with you.
As a song?
Yeah, no good.
Come on, both of them are better than that. That feels like their management's got together or their music company has just gone, let's put out one
like
song.
That.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, he's
no,
good.
It doesn't.
He writes a good song,
no,
but
he
sits
does.
It's like when he doesn't.
That's stupid.
When you
pop.
Go and see him in concert,
yeah.
He won't hire a band, so it's just him on his own.
Yeah, with his pedals.
That's his thing.
He's got cymbals between his knees, a drum on his back,
pretty
and
much.
A washboard stomach, and he's sitting out there with a guitar.
Well, he needs cowbell.
And that's what it sounds like. It sounds like he's doing everything. He won't give it up.
Hey,
here's a tip. Get a band.
They're going to regret that. Yeah. You know what? It's a bit like Ebony and Ivory for Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson.
That's right.
Regret forever.
He's got racist
you're more
undertones.
You're more of a Little Nas kind of guy.
I'm Little Nas. Come on.
So no one can touch Lil Nas on the charts.
Well, they reckon they're not going to get there. Lil Nas is going to go in for the seventh
all
week,
the way. Yeah,
number one.
Take that, Bieber and Sheeran.
If you ever hear that music played live or in a room full of people,
watch
people go nuts.
Yeah.
It's
right.
Absolutely.
Much like when you do this one.
Did you ever know that you're my
I was having a really good time.
Needs a bit of cowbell.
Why'd you do that? I don't like that.
Needs a bit of cowbell. You got one you want to do?
Yes, I have. Oh, yes. Okay, so what's going on in the USA at the moment?
Lord.
There's a bit of a debacle going on, especially if you happen to live in Alabama.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think we've turned back the clock about 100 years there with legislation.
Abortion's been outlawed.
Yes. Yeah. US Representative Darlene Taylor spoke on behalf. Well, she decided to speak on behalf of a fetus. And
Baby fetus. Who couldn't represent himself.
Yes, so she referred to herself as fetus. I think we've got some audio of this. Sorry.
Georgia. Earlier this week, their governor, Brian Kemp, signed a draconian bill which would ban abortions after a fetal heartbeat is detected, which can be as early as 6 weeks into a pregnancy before many women are even aware that they are pregnant. There were some spectacular moments in the debate over it, like this one from Representative Darlene Taylor.
Who speaks for the baby named fetus? Who speaks for the baby named fetus? Well, today I'm going to. To quote baby fetus, I deserve to have the right to. Some may squirm in their seats or turn their backs, but I will speak today. Baby fetus says, and I quote,
what?
I have that right. Don't be afraid or intimidated about acknowledging me.
Okay. So let's walk through this. First, she explicitly says she's speaking not on behalf of a fetus, but on behalf of a baby whose name is fetus. Then she's somehow quoting this made-up baby fetus, despite the fact that babies can't speak or write, so she has no source material from which to quote. I actually think my feelings on this might be best summed up by baby fetus's seminal 1973 autobiography, All the Things I Didn't Say Because I'm Not Real.
That's madness. Oh, madness.
That is madness.
A danger, women in America. They're coming for you.
Look out. Ohio's next.
That'll be decided in the Supreme Court, which, as we know, is stuffed to the gunnels.
Before we go to our callers, I have to clown myself.
Oh.
I've been corrected on Twitter by Paul Sarong. Ebony and Ivory was Paul McCartney and Stevie Wonder. Oops.
What did you say?
I said Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson.
Oh, Jack.
So you just say
I know what it was. Say, what do you want? Was that it?
Do you see all black people as the same?
Oh, my God. Did you say that out
just
loud?
That you.
How dare you?
Oh, no, Dave.
Yeah, you're right, it is.
Do you know what? Sorry.
This is a really good song.
It's actually a really racist
Jane.
Song.
What do you mean?
It's so racist. It's like, I'm black and you're ebony and ivory. I mean,
yeah, but they're living together in harmony. Harmony. What's wrong with that?
It's all in the words, man.
What's wrong with the message?
They both disappoint me.
I prefer the message in Mull of Kintyre.
All right, we better get to some calls now.
No, we're going to have to do it when we come back.
Oh, all right.
We're
going
to go.
Right.
More clown sorry, coming calls. Up right we'll be back this. With you in a minute.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy.
We've got Jay Farrow from Saturday Night Live to join us in the second hour. Jane Kennedy here, Mick Molloy driving you home. This is Kennedy Molloy.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
Right now it's Michael Jackson and Paul McCartney and Say, Say,
no,
Say.
No, it's Paul McCartney and Steve. Oh, no, it is. Is it? Michael Jackson
you
too.
Get,
oh, right.
Ebony Ivory, Stevie Wonder. Again,
what's
racist.
Wrong with you?
Sorry for interrupting your call.
Say. Okay.
What you want.
Oh, stop it now.
What? Why?
If I heard that at a party, I would leave.
Oh.
If someone
you're
put that
idiot.
On, I would leave. Cleanse my ears, please.
Okay. Yeah, I want to take my horse to the water.
Would you just walk into a party like this, say, hey, ladies, Mickey's here.
Yeah, with a hat on, and I'd be
and nothing else.
Boot skidding.
What if this one came on at the party?
Hat and underpants.
What? Oh, well, I'd leave the party if this came on. God, wake me up.
Oh, the Scottish band.
Oh, God. Oh,
time. Oh,
I don't know how we got into
enough, Mark. Enough, okay, enough.
Okay. I'm done.
Okay.
Let's go to some.
Do we have something else to discuss? Oh, by the way, Dave.
What?
Are you okay?
What are you talking about?
Well, I've just watched you scull a beer, and I know it's Friday, but it's.
Doing it for Hawkey, mate. Doing it
he's
for
doing
Hawkey.
It. That's
today.
What he said to me when he walked in.
No, the boss gave it to me.
I think if Hawkey was here, he'd say, slow down a bit, Dave.
It's
you've still got an hour and a 15 to go.
Hawkey would love it.
But are you okay?
I'm fine.
Can you do your job?
Am I okay? I'm pushing the right
button. No, you
are. How dare you? I'm fine.
Well, you just played say, say, say.
Oh, then that is true.
I'm watching you. I'm watching you like a hawk.
Okay. All right. I've been told. That's my last beer for the day.
I mean, I'm no prude.
No, well.
I didn't say you can't have another one.
Oh, okay.
I just said stop woofing.
Guys, stop fighting.
All right.
Can we go to some callers?
Isn't there a happy medium?
Okay.
I want to hear Jace.
Have a sip.
Hi, Jace.
How you going?
Good. So are you having a drink then?
Yeah, I was.
What are you drinking?
Come in here and panel our show.
I'm having a Forex Gold.
Forex Gold?
Forex Gold. That's cool. It's a mid-strength, isn't it?
I don't know. It sounds good. It's Friday knock-off time.
Can I have a few extras if it's a mid-strength?
There you go.
Hey, Jace, who do you want to clown, mate?
Done the sums, Jace.
I'd like to go for Alan Jones.
Alan Jones.
Well, that's very interesting.
Well,
why?
You know, apart from the usual run-of-the-mill, any day of the week thing that he does, he's put his nuts on the line and said if Labor win, he's going to quit radio and public life.
Fantastic.
Wow. Well, it could be on the cards. But I'll tell you what, Jace, did you hear there was a caller today that was quite insane? I think we should play it. It's
to
a
who?
Woman.
To,
to Alan Jones' show.
Yes.
She was very, very upset because she's very concerned that Tony Abbott is not going to win his seat.
Oh,
okay.
And let's just have a listen to how upset she was.
Tony's just such a good man, an honest man, and we all love you, and we know exactly what you're going through. I know this sounds ridiculous, and I'm not religious, but they did the same to Jesus. Keep going, darling, we love you.
Oh, wow.
Did the same to Jesus.
So wasn't Tony Abbott putting on a voice?
That's hilarious.
I don't know. Hey, Jace, let's put you on the standby list.
Oh, good luck. We're going to draw it this afternoon, by the way. That's the big bash, the big red bash in the centre of Australia with Midnight Oil and the Living End. So
are
good luck.
Slurring, Dave? Are you slurring? I'm not.
Got a lot of things to say.
He's not.
All right.
Okay, let's go to Mark. Can we go to Mark, please?
Yeah, we sure can.
Yeah.
Hello, Mark. How are you going? Good.
Good. I would like to crown the writers of the final season of Game of Thrones.
You're not the only one.
Because
I told you the
first
show
two episodes
cool.
were boring.
Yep.
The last episode, there was more action than a bloody Jackie Chan movie.
So they've got all the pacing wrong, you reckon?
I think so.
Well, you're not the only angry fan. There's 10,000 people who have signed a petition to ask HBO to remake the final Game of Thrones season.
Angry nerds. Mm. Now, how are you angry?
No, I'm not. I'm quite satisfied. And I've been watching it from the get-go. I'm quite happy with how it's panning out. And everyone's on drugs. Just watch the show. It's made up. It's not real, everyone, by the way.
What's happening with the Ewoks?
Oh. Ask about the dragons.
What about the dragons?
There's only one left.
Why is there only one left?
Yeah.
Oh, spoiler alert.
They put the other two down.
You've had 7 years to watch.
What happened to the other two?
I'm not telling you then what happened.
They find each other? Can you get like the dog
fights? It's the worst part of the show for me, by the way. The dragons and the White Walkers is the worst part because it's the most unreal. Mm. It's not real. I don't like that.
Or otherwise it's like a documentary.
Well, yes. Good old stabbing is real. fire and killing people from a dragon is a bit...
You can't have a Game of Thrones. You can't have Game of Thrones without a dragon. Mm.
Did you want to put Mark on the standby list for the big bash?
Yes.
Why not?
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mark.
Let's go to Karen. Karen.
Hi, guys. How are you going?
Yeah, good.
Who do you want to clown?
Myself, but I'm still saying it's James' fault.
Oh, what? Karen. Yeah. A drive-by. What have I done?
Well, I've been listening to you being Tradie Janey, see, so I got all excited. I work in a library at a school.
Yeah.
And we were talking about, you know, renovating one of the rooms in the library. I got all excited and pulled up the carpet. Yeah. And I didn't ask permission from, like, anyone.
Oops.
So I've had the principal and the finance minister...
But how are you going to renovate it if you didn't have any approvals? What were you going to do once you'd ripped it up?
My downfall has been exposed. But
at least no one can shout at you in the library.
That's right, I just shushed them.
You're in a lot of trouble, Karen.
I'm sorry that my tradie propensities.
Yeah.
Well, I can't help it if I'm on top of all that stuff.
Would you? I'll tell you what I'll
see
offer.
It through to the end.
Karen, what if we got Tradie Janey round there to work on her weekends and after the show.
Knock me together some cupboards.
Come around and knock you something up, redo the carpets.
I've built my fair share of cupboards, Karen. I'm done.
Stay on the line, Karen. We'll help you out. Put Karen on the list.
All right.
Oh, Karen, good luck. You might get to see Midnight Oil and The Living End, the Big Red Bash, which is coming to the centre of Australia. BigRedBash.com.au.
Okay, Dave.
I'm feeling fantastic. Yeah, good. Kennedy
loose.
Malloy.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Jay Farrow. From Saturday Night Live. He is a funny man. He's going to join us in the next few minutes. We
fantastic.
Can review.
I could have done the voices for you.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Why? You are the man of 1,000 voices.
What voices Bert does Newton. He do? I don't do Bert anymore.
Don't you?
It's disrespectful.
Oh, okay.
Well, Bert's still.
Bugs
on,
Bunny.
We've got him on the Deadpool.
Bugs Bunny.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're a dirty rat.
This sounds like a Chinese Gestapo sort of character.
You're despicable.
What about Bill Clinton?
Let me tell you. Crazy.
No.
Let me tell you.
What about Jimmy Barnes?
Oh, yeah.
Da, 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 da. Da, da,
sorry, Jim.
What about Donald Trump?
You are a master, honestly.
Really
you should do this in stand-up.
Trump's pretty hard.
Great. Old man of 1,000 voices.
Shut up. I didn't say they were all good,
Dave. Hey, I'm going to clown you for one more thing, though, Dave.
Oh, what?
For bullying rock royalty Peter Garrett when we spoke with him yesterday.
Oh, this is a good suggestion.
Insisting, well, let's just hear what you did.
Can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
More cowbell.
Oh, my God.
I love the cowbell at the start of Read About.
You know why he's doing this? He's angling to get in the band, Peter. He's got there this bloody is. Cowbell with him.
What if I came on and just did the two taps of a cowbell before Read About It at one of your concerts?
You realise you'd have to audition and Rob is a pretty harsh judge. <He's,
laughs> he means that about Rob Hurst. Yeah. He's really tough Hurst. Judge.
I'll give him a call.
Good luck with that. Yeah. Good luck with getting past Rob's specialist drumming.
He'd be happy to
I don't think so.
Palm off some
he's a perfectionist.
Yeah.
Doesn't need your help.
He's getting old.
He's not getting old.
Okay, what about Jane? Can I clown Jane? What about the bit where Jane got a fly in her throat? That was great radio.
Oh, we don't need to
No, we do.
Go back to it.
No, it was really funny.
I was trying to be professional.
Oh, what? Well, you weren't chewing gum, so that's a good thing.
Shut up, Dave. You haven't even found it yet. I don't know what you're doing over there.
What are you doing, Dave? Opening another can.
Oh, I found Jane's germ. Oh, here it is. Jane's flying throat. Have a listen.
It's the second highest grossing... Sorry.
Oh, you're right.
Jeez.
Oh, no.
What is showing on?
Glass of water to Studio 5.
Oh, my fly went in my throat.
Oh, that's up there with my favourites.
Sorry, do I get any sympathy here at all? There could have been a fly in the studio. There's plenty of other things flying around in here.
We're not a third world village.
Yeah.
We're a studio.
It felt like it. It was that same feeling when you get a fly in your throat.
Fly in the throat, eh?
Yeah, that's what
you're called. What else is it?
Who knows what you
Oh, you're a clown.
To.
Shut up.
All right. Hey, when we come back, who is it? The big fella.
It is Jay Farrow.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
It's the last hour for the week, people. Then it's hammer time.
Woohoo!
Is Joel Creasy ringing in?
Yes, he is. We're gonna hear from Joel. He's in Tel Aviv for Eurovision, and Australia has a ripping chance. It's all coming.
We're in the grand final.
We're in the grand final.
We're in the granny.
I know.
Well,
now you're happy.
Luck. Can we ring in? Are we allowed to phone? What do you do?
I'm not sure what the process of Eurovision.
Oh, there's some weird voting thing that goes on.
Another candidate.
Hey, Brick Lane, I'm on now.
Oh, you're the Brick Lane.
Hey, we've got the Week in Review coming up, and we've got lots more to finish up.
We'll take your calls.
We will.
We'll take your tweets, but let's start with this bloke.
Before the movies and the TV shows, it was just a young Jay Farrow with a lot of voices in his head.
I was kind of introverted a little bit. I mean, you don't come up with 200 impressions by having friends.
But we love that now those voices are out of his head so that we get to hear Chris Rock.
Okay.
Denzel Washington.
The ladies, they look at me and they say, damn, that man's sexy, oh.
Kevin Hart.
Listen, here's the thing, Steve.
Eddie Murphy.
Well, you know what first I would say to these people.
And of course, the one that made him famous on SNL, the president.
All of a sudden, I sound like Obama. You want me to come back, but I'm not.
Jay and his head full of voices are in Australia for a stand-up tour, and luckily for us, also in our studio. Please welcome Jay Farrow.
Hello. Hello.
Trialing his Australian accent, everybody.
You are freaking me out, Jay, with your Australian accent.
You know, I've heard a lot of them. They're terrible, but you know mine. You've actually said that it was, you know, pretty good. So
that is hilarious.
So I was like, no, that's terrible. Yeah, thank you.
It is very hard. We've always thought for there's a lot of actors who say it's impossible to do an Australian accent.
That's crazy.
So weird.
It's just so funny. I'm like, I was telling you, it's so funny. I can pick this one up, and you know, sometimes it seems like I struggle more with the English accent. I'm just like, wow, because I go over there and they'll be like, that's rubbish. I'm like, you bastard. It's fine.
What have you struggled with? What have you found most difficult?
What have I struggled with? Let's see here. Ladies until I was 18, got better at that. You talking about struggling as far as voices and
voices,
things?
Please.
You know, a lot of, you know, accents and things that, like, it's just the English one, man. Every other one.
English.
Like, I'll do the Romanian. I'll speak like a person from Bucharest right now. I could do it.
What? Oh, my God. I love the way that he uses the voice and he talks to us. It's very, you know, Romania. It's a really nice place. Bucharest.
Jay, tell me about your childhood then, because there's got to be a kink or something that's leads you to this.
I got a lot of whippings.
You did not.
Shoot. Yes, I did. Shout out to my I'll pop. It's all good. We good now.
Stop.
What was your first impression? What was the first one you ever tried?
First impression was Iago off of Aladdin. That was my first
one. Oh, okay.
I'm molting! Come on, Jafar! That's all you got to do is scream. He's got scars on his vocal cords.
Wow.
They hate his vocal cords. Wake up in the morning and say, hey, man, you better shut the hell up today. Don't say nothing, man. We're tired, Gilbert. We're tired.
What about the new Aladdin movie?
You know what? Yeah, that's like crazy. You know, like Will Smith. Yeah. Like, when I sound like Will Smith to me, it ain't even really an impression, you know what I mean? Because, like, I sound like him already.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
God.
So it ain't hard, you know? And, you know, I'm blue. You know what I mean? I'm blue, Abu Dhabi, Abu Dhabi. Remember that? Abu Dhabi, Abu Dhabi. Yeah. It was crazy.
Jay, tell me, what shows did you grow up loving? Comedy shows.
Let's see here. I'm going back into it. What did I used to watch when I was little, man? I used to watch all Eddie Murphy movies. Definitely watched Saturday Night Live and during the Dana Carvey and Mike Myers era, Wayne's World. Like I used to watch.
So when you grow up watching Saturday Night Live and you end up on it, what's that feeling?
It's a dream come true, man. You know, I always was interested in getting to SNL, but I just never knew how to get there. I was a kid from Virginia, you know what I mean? You know, a lot of people don't make it out of Virginia. You know what I mean? What's in Virginia? This is a pregnancy and family. You know what I mean?
But Eddie Murphy is one that, there's so many different Eddie Murphys.
Is he aware that you do an Eddie Murphy? And how does he feel about it?
You know, it's really funny. You know, actually, when I talked to Eddie Murphy, you know, the first time I had a conversation with him and I was asking him about the impression, he was like, you know what? You know, a lot of people do impersonations of me, but they don't really do me. They do like Donkey from Shrek.
That's what I was thinking. You know, That's how dumb I am. Yeah, I'm going, I love that.
They do Axel Foley. You know, they do Buddy Love or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, I think you do the Buddy Love. And then Bobby Moynihan was like, he can do you. And I was like, shut up. I was like, whatever Eddie says, it's fine. I'm trying. You ain't going to mess up my debut with him being in the film with him, because I'm going to do it. It's going to happen.
Mark my
goddamn words. It's going to happen. So he thought that I hadn't mastered it, but I worked on it after that. And I had already worked on it past what he had saw on the net. Mm. And then, Charlie Murphy, even his brother, rest in peace, and he said, yo, man.
Charlie,
you finally got him, man.
I've got a feeling you are going to be starring in your own feature film with Eddie Murphy as your sidekick. Yeah. Will you stick around?
We'd
love to chat with you.
All right, Jay Farrow is with us, by the way, doing some shows in Melbourne and Sydney. Frontiercomedy.com.au for tickets. More after this on Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Kennedy Malloy.
Yes, Jay Farrow, our special guest. Mick and Jane here driving you home around Australia. This is Kennedy Malloy.
So, Jay, do you get nervous when you meet someone whose voice you do? You mentioned Eddie Murphy, but does it get stressful for you?
You know what, man? I'm in good shape, so I ain't really worried about nobody trying those stuff.
Is it rude of us to just say, can I just toss a few names up?
Sure,
because I would just love people to hear how
clever
you are. Well, Bill Clinton, to say we ran into Bill.
Oh, wow.
He's a very charismatic man.
I haven't done this one in a long time.
Really?
All right. I mean, everybody loves me, and I love everybody.
Okay, that's
that
right.
Is a woman.
That is true.
Can I ask, do you like it when someone who you do comes back into the news? So, like, if Nicolas Cage gets arrested or goes to...
Yeah, of course, you know. You know, because the persuasion, all my movies are totally awesome. And if people don't recognize that, then they don't know the true artistry of an actual actor. I actually delve into my parts. You know, I got a movie coming up. It's called Pebble. And I'm playing a rock.
And, of course, we would love to, and we miss very much, the greatest president of my generation, Barack Obama.
I agree as well. it's kind of crazy now, baby, because, you know, Barack Obama got swag. You know, I don't have to. I'm not stressed anymore. You know, I got one of those spray paint kits. I'm back in the game. Because, you know, Beijing, I don't know if you know about that, but Beijing is when you you dye your hair. You know? I started looking like Cisco. When I was in there, they were stressing me out. You know, I was in the back. I was in the Oval Office, in the secret compartment, right behind the bookcase, kind of like Batman does, Bruce Wayne. And I went down there I would smoke whatever I wanted to. I mean, no, I didn't do anything straight. Mm. It was mostly cigarettes and also a little bit of the greenery. just a little bit, not too much.
Got it.
Great to hear Fantastic. From the president as well.
Now, did I hear Kanye West dirtied up? I heard he was not a fan of you doing an impression of him.
You know what's really funny about Kanye is that, you know, Kanye is just so off the wall.
Yes, he is.
You know, and you know what I'm trying to do, fam? You know, what I'm really trying to do is, you know, I'm trying to focus. You know, because I know I have ADD. And you know, there's a lot of people out there with ADD. And you know, I'm standing up for kids with ADD, bro. You know, I'm starting that off. You know what? And people get mad, fam, because they always like, you know, people with ADD, you know, we're incompetent. We're slow. We're not slow, bitch. We're fast. There's an actual difference. You yes. think you think we're all over the place because we're slow? No. Yeah. Nah, fam. It's because we just saw a fly coming to the classroom and we ain't worried about what you saying, Martha.
Oh my God.
Who needs Kanye?
Exactly. How did you get on Saturday Night Live? What was the process? Because I can imagine everyone in the world wants to be in that cast.
Well, you know, it was a dark night with me and Lorne Michaels. I'm playing. So, you know, I got an agent and we put together an audition tape, sent it to SNL. They called me in. I went in, I auditioned, tested in front of everybody. Yeah. And then 3 weeks later, Lorne Michaels called me up. He said, "Are you ready for your life to change?"
Jesus, are you serious? Like, yeah. Bang, it happened.
He was like, "Yeah, well, you know, you're super talented. I know you're going to work hard, and I know you're ready for this. So, yeah, welcome to Saturday Night Live."
Did you do your Lorne Michaels to Lorne Michaels?
I think we all have. Everybody has a Lorne, yeah.
Jay, you're an incredible talent, and you're a great guy.
Do you love performing live?
I love performing live in front of a room full of people, you make them laugh. Question while y'all, because you ain't about to interview them. Let me ask y'all a question. Y'all swam with the sharks yet? You ever swam with a shark?
Well, we swim in shark-infested waters, but not actually with the sharks.
Literally with the sharks.
Okay, not so you ain't never shark
swam. So you're a little bit nervous about going in the water
here? I don't want to do that. You know, I want to do that. Listen, first of all, look at the skin color. Not all right? Check this out. Because I look like a seal when I'm in the water. Okay? You see my skin color?
I'm black. See it.
You look juicy.
I'm like a seal. Have you seen what happens to seals in the water with sharks? Yeah, and don't even get me started on the killer whale. Yeah. They just throw you up in the air like some goldfish.
That's right.
Catch you in your mouth.
You're a tasty hors d'oeuvre.
Yeah, that's what the girls say. Lord have mercy. Did I just say that?
I did
not mean to say that.
Good luck. You'll love our audiences. They're going to love this stuff. Yeah. You're going to go wait. Great.
Dave's got all the dates to tell
Factory
everybody about.
Factory Theatre in Sydney, the Comics Lounge in Melbourne all this weekend, and frontiercomedy.com.au to get your tickets. You don't want to miss this show. It's going to be huge.
And shout out to Chris Hemsworth. That's my homie.
Oh, yeah.
He's in Byron Bay. So you're going to swing by and say good day?
No, I'm not. But
there's too many Hemsworths. Don't swim with the Hemsworths.
That's right. That's
whatever
right.
you do.
There's another warning.
I might get a contract.
Jay Farrow, this is Kennedy Malloy.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
What a friggin' week.
Hey. Oh, man.
So play good. It.
Let's do it.
Nicely. Ask nicely.
Dave, are you
I'm okay.
He's on his second beer. Let's go.
What could possibly go wrong?
A week of reflection on Kennedy Malloy. Jane reflected on the TV death she simply never gotten over.
Molly from A Country Practice. When she died.
How Dave? Old are you?
Me too.
Are you 102? Do we all remember that?
Cancer. And she just went out into the field.
And Brendan's running, going,
Brendan
Molly,
ran after
her eyes shut. And then
the pig was there. And
is this on? Hello.
Tom Gleisner reflected how every election night plays out.
Anthony Green.
We love Anthony
grappling
Green.
Grappling with technology that's always just a little bit beyond his capability. But they're all on board. So ABC have got Australia Votes. 9 are doing Australia Decides. Mm-hmm. And 10 have got Backbencher in Paradise.
And Mick reflected the feelings of lots of men that it might be all over for the Victoria's Secret fashion show.
This is unbelievable. There's a little bit of sunshine in our lives.
to see a hottie toddling down a runway wearing a million-dollar bedazzled bra.
Yep.
Why can't I have that? Oh, I'd like the Handmaid's Tale.
Andrew Denton reflected about the time he and Mick both attended James Packer's wedding.
We were all greeted at the door by Kerry, which was kind of a scary moment because, like, hello, Mr. Packer.
It was a bit confronting to me considering the Mick Molloy show had just been axed.
Yes. Oh,
and he really wanted to talk about it.
Oh, really?
I had to bustle through.
But I remember you saying to me afterwards, I was on the dance floor with Sophie and I realised I was dancing next to John and Jeanette Howard.
Dave O'Neill reflected on the time he stood for Parliament.
My campaign was called the Party Pie Party. And it cost me $500 to register, and I had to get 50 signatures of local residents, which is really hard.
That is hard. Did you have to go door knocking?
No, I left it at the fruit shop and then the bakery. I was doing this as a joke. It was like a joke.
What were you doing at the fruit shop? That's all I'm thinking about.
Exactly.
And Mick reckons that in reflection, Uber's new quiet mode would have been pretty useful for a couple of people.
Probably something that Stefanovic should do. What are you requesting? Go quiet mode. Yeah, real quiet mode.
That would have been handy.
I tell you got in. The driver would want quiet mode. The driver would go, I've seen you and
How
your girls.
How dare you?
I've seen you and your girls out there about.
Oh, that's enough of you.
Mick and Peter Garrett reflected on the time Paul Hester filled in at the Oils.
I remember that, actually.
I've never seen a more shocked look on a man's face. I said, how'd you go? He goes, yeah, those songs are pretty fast. This is a guy coming from Crowded House where he used to brush the cymbals.
I remember. He's just done the marathon. He said, you got to do that tomorrow night? We're like, yeah, come on, mate.
And I think Jane's love of Aldi is reflected by a lot of people out there.
I'm ecstatic.
What's the reason?
What's happened?
It's the Aldi Snow Gear Special Buy Day on Saturday, and I've got the leaflet in my letterbox. People queue up. They're up for hours. They might be up overnight.
Oh, are you going skiing?
No.
But when we reflect back on this week, the memory that dominates is one thing. KFC's new Charco.
It's a whole chicken schnitzel, but it's bent in half.
Like a taco.
Like a taco shell. In the middle, you put all the fixings. Guaca, sour cream.
Okay, can I have a moist towel?
Shredded cheese. Sounds just good, doesn't it?
Cracked one.
Hey.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Thanks to the HSV Chevrolet Silverado. Head to hsv.com.au to find your local dealer.
Why doesn't Kate Miller-Heidke just come out in the back? Oh, yeah.
Well, you're right.
That would win.
Why does she have to go up a pole?
Well, like five of them come out with dancers on the back.
In convoy. Mm.
Because people wouldn't believe what they would see.
No, that's true.
Imagine if you saw a convoy of the Silverados.
I know.
Wouldn't you?
The royals should use that. Or a presidential convoy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, with people running along beside.
I'll tell you what, whoever wins the election on Saturday should stand out the back of this and, you know, go around the city.
They should put Bob Hawke's in the back.
That could be cool.
Drive it around town. Do a lap around Australia.
Right.
Well, if they needed a ladder, did you know they've got a ladder rack system?
What do you mean?
Well,
who needs a ladder?
Because you might need a ladder when you've got one of these. You never know. Well, Kate Miller-Hogan needs a ladder to get up her dress.
Need a ladder, you get a boost.
I'd give you
a boost, Jane,
if
it involved you getting into the cabin of the Silverado.
I felt so at home when I sat in there. I did need a bit of a step up. You did have to help me up into cabin.
Yes.
You said, m'lady, may I offer you
I thought I put my jacket down.
You did. It was very gallant.
Silverado brings out the best in men. They really do. I love that vehicle.
And it can pull a bloody ton. Five tons.
Five tons, to be precise.
Five. What other vehicle can do that?
None.
None that you can park on the street.
No.
Good luck with
that.
Park
that in the street. Park that wherever you want. Hey, yeah. People drive around it.
Oh, yeah.
What are your options?
Hey,
it's like an island.
Get out of the way.
It should have its own postcode.
Oh, well, you wouldn't get a parking fine.
Parking fine.
They were just looking. They go, oh, I'm not touching that, mate. I'm backing off. Back off from the Chevrolet Silverado.
They'd do? They'd put a note under the windscreen wiper saying, call me.
Call me now.
I love you, Silverado.
Really?
All right. Well, head to hsv.com.au to find your local dealer.
Thanks, HSV Chevrolet Silverado. We're loving you.
Jeez.
And Joel Creasy to join us.
Wrapping me up. I was really enjoying my love for the Silverado.
Thank you, Silverado. Get an email.
A drive home with a show motto is what could possibly go wrong? This is Kennedy Malloy.
The headline from last year's Eurovision was a stage invader described by Joel Creasy like this.
Some absolute f***head got on stage, but what a professional. She slayed that.
Hopefully the headline this year is an Aussie win, as Kate Miller-Heiche wowed audiences at semi-final one on her way to Sunday's grand final.
Oh my gosh, that response in the room, the biggest so far, without a doubt.
With all the glitz, glamour and goss from Eurovision, live from Tel Aviv, Israel, please welcome back Joel Creasy.
Look out.
It's royalty, Eurovision royalty. Hello, Joel.
Hey, guys. Happy Eurovision.
Thank you so much. And a very exciting time in my life. I've been watching Eurovision for, it seems like, 100 years.
Well, this is going to be crazy then, because Australia could very well take it on the weekend and be the host of Eurovision next year.
Paint the picture for us. You're in Tel Aviv. You're ensconced in your hotel room. Is there a buzz around town? What's the vibe?
Well, currently I'm in a bath of hummus. It's all I've eaten all week. There is a crazy buzz around town for Kate Miller-Heiche.
Even our taxi
driver the other night, when he discovered we were Australian, he put on Zero Gravity. We were singing along.
It's pretty hard to sing along to that song, isn't it?
Look, I tried. And there's also, like, everywhere you go as well, every karaoke bar, every restaurant is playing it around the clock. Everyone's singing it. Yeah, look, there are a lot of people that shouldn't be singing it, mostly just Kate Miller-Heiche.
Who is her biggest...
Like when I get my prostate checked. Now, Joel, can you tell me, what are we a genuine chance? Are you saying that?
We're a genuine chance because, look, there's all her competition. The Netherlands are her biggest competition at
the
moment.
Okay.
Russia are up there, Sweden. They're all dudes with pretty simple staging. So Kate really stands out there. She's flying through space. She's doing big notes. And also she's just drawn the second last position in the grand final, which is amazing because it means you're last in the viewers' minds just before the voting.
Correct. Opens. That's so true. And there's a bit of form in the past with that. And also we saw it on the Australian version of Eurovision, which you hosted so well. But the staging's even bigger. It's gone berserk, hasn't it, what she did for the Australian one?
Yeah, she's up a couple of poles. She's dancing on a couple of poles, basically. She's like me on a Saturday night.
Hey, Joel, can you upskirt her for me? Send me some pictures.
Well, she's right out there over the stadium. It's quite funny because, you know, she has to get on in 20 seconds. So seeing her wheeled out onto the stage, it is quite hilarious to see it happen.
She's quite a low-key person. So I get so nervous for her when she's doing this. Isn't it an amazing transformation she makes?
Yeah, she really is. Also, she's been on vocal rest too, so she's really holding back, waiting for the big show, so she can blast the stadium away. But you know, also, you know, she's actually one of the more experienced performers at this year's Eurovision too. So that really shows when it comes down to it.
Joel, can you put a bet on for me? I want to put a box trifecta on Netherlands, yes. Sweden. You've got to have Sweden Sweden in Eurovision is like Kenya in the marathon. It's like Venezuela at Miss Universe. They're just there every time. Australia, Netherlands. Who's got the punk rock band? They always go well.
That's Iceland.
Iceland love their punk and their heavy metal, don't they?
Take Iceland and Sweden. Yeah. Can you box them up for me and have a bet?
Nothing.
Absolutely. I can put some money on San Marino for you as well, if you like. He's a former dentist. We're not sure how he qualified, but calling him Euro Daddy.
It always sounds like a made-up country to me. Yeah. We'll be watching Joel.
Sounds like he's working on Kate Miller-Heiche to me. People are saying I look like Conchita.
You do look like
I've got a beard at the moment, Joel.
Mick's grown a beard.
Someone rushed up to me and called me Conchita the other day.
You do look a little Conchita, I'm going to say it. Yeah. I'm going to put it out there.
Hey, Joel.
If she's been in a good paddock.
a little bit chubby.
Good on you, mate.
I'm going to be up Sunday morning live, 5 a.m, the grand final on SBS. And again, it'll be repeated at 8:30 that night. Joel Creasy, good luck with your hosting. We love seeing you there. Of course, with Miff.
Thank you, guys. Happy Eurovision. It's going to be crazy.
Cheers to you.
Don't call anyone a cockhead.
I'll try. It's very tempting, though.
Joel Creasy.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
All right. You've got a winner there. Who's got it?
Oh, yeah, this is for the Big Red prize. Bash winner. This is fantastic.
I wish I was going on that thing.
This is in Birdsville. You're going to see Midnight Oil, Living Jesus. In, a whole bunch of people. It's going to be absolutely extraordinary in the desert, a one-off experience coming up in June. And we chose for our winner this week, congratulations to John. John called up to say, and it was in relation to what character did you mourn over? When characters die in fictional programs.
What did he say?
He said for the first time in 12 years together, he and his wife cried in Avengers Endgame. We got him?
Yeah, here he is.
Let's have a listen.
My wife and I have been together for 12 years, and we went the blub for the first time together in all that time, seeing Avengers Endgame.
Well, and what was the bit where she cried?
No!
Oh, okay. It's been out for a month.
Oh, really? Okay.
It's been out for a month.
You can't.
No, it's the biggest selling movie of all time.
Oh, what happened? Thor lost his hammer.
Congratulations, well done, John and his wife. They're going to go off and see Midnight Oil and The Living End.
Take out the blub.
A few other great bands there.
Are they definitely gone? In it, are they? Don't go into another draw somewhere?
No.
They've won it.
They've won it. They're going. That's going to make their weekend. Congratulations.
Balling their eyes out as we speak.
That's brilliant. Hey, will we go around the grounds? What's happening?
Let's start in Melbourne. Revolutions, Records and Rebels. It's an exhibition that focuses on 5 years in the 60s that changed the world. Personally, over the 60s, but you may not be. So go along. There's over 500 objects, stuff from Sergeant Pepper's.
That's great.
Lucy in the Sky Diamond, Mick Jagger's stage costumes.
Wow.
Oh, good to see he's up and about.
He is.
A guitar from The Who's Pete Townsend. Go on, get nostalgic, have a look.
Brilliant. I'm going to go to Adelaide.
I'm at the Melbourne Museum, by the way.
There you go. Hello, Adelaide. Get baked in the nicest possible way.
Right.
It's a new event, and some of the most decadent dessert makers are going to be under one roof. Ooh, you'll see some of Adelaide's best bakers and dessert food trucks. No, I'm not a sweet tooth.
You nearly killed me with a cake.
I know, but it's not for me. I didn't eat it. Treat yourself to monster shakes, donuts, macarons, cupcakes, you name it.
Yum.
It is diabetes heaven. Market to Market, Flinders Street in Adelaide.
All right, what about Perth, the great state of WA, the RSPCA Million Paws Walk. Get along. There's going to be a load of dogs.
Brilliant.
What do you want?
Dogs everywhere.
Leash up your doggo and head to the RSPCA Million Paws Walks this weekend to raise funds for the RSPCA WA. I can't think of a better cause.
How awesome.
And
what
the dogs
are
working hard to find homes for. Over 8,000 people already registered. Sunday 19th, Sir James Mitchell Park. Hey, that will be doggy heaven.
That will be fantastic.
Get along.
Hey, if you want something to do, Sydney, Saturday night, get yourself to the Enmore Theatre and go and see Nazim Hussain. His show's called Basic Idiot. Funny guy. He's, of course, got a special on Netflix. He's become a dad for the first time and he did his own sketch comedy series. Go and see him. He's hilarious. Enjoy the night out in Sydney.
Brisbane, strap yourself in. It's the Proclaimers.
Woo! Oh, what?
Expect to hear the classics.
Fantastic. I didn't know
that. 8 p.m. Friday, 17th of May. That's tonight.
Woo.
At UPAC.
Oh, great place to be.
Still rustle up a ticket, go. But that will get the town of Brisbane rocking.
Awesome. Hey, Hobart, get your running shoes on. It's the City to Casino Fun Run and Walk. Tasmania's iconic running event.
Run to the casino.
It's the oldest fun run in Tassie. That's what I was thinking. Over 3,000 participants. That's on Sunday. Go and see everybody running.
And finally, our good mates in Newcastle.
Yeah.
It's the Hunter Valley Gourmet Market.
Now, that's going to be awesome. The Hunter Valley's beautiful.
I love it there.
Well, I know.
Authentic Foods and Lifestyle Market, dedicated to giving locals direct access. It's 600 McDonald's Road, Pocolbin.
Pocolbin. Hello.
Can you say that with a plum in your mouth?
I know. That's on Saturday. Hey, everyone.
Do it, idiots.
Thanks for listening to us this week. We've got a huge show coming up next week. Don't worry. Come and listen to us on Kennedy and Malloy.
Now you're done catching up on Kennedy Malloy. Check out the Chevrolet Silverado by HSV. Live big.